This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, it's the Big Show.
Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Live from the G. Wagner Plumbing Studio, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, inventor of the Lambeau Leap, Packer Hall of Famer Leroy Butler here as well now, starting in the 3 o'clock hour. Welcome in, Leroy. How did your anti-bullying message go? Who are you talking to today?
It went very well. I actually talked to 3 schools, and we normally let the schools release it because of privacy issues, and I'm sure they will because there's a lot of fun stuff on there, especially when you have elementary.
Oh, so these are made public?
If it's up to the school.
Oh,
some of them
I didn't
do,
know
some
that.
Some of them don't.
Nice.
Some of them do because your parent has to opt in to say, yeah, I want my son's face to be shown.
Oh, right.
Or even talked about.
So it's like being recorded for a TV commercial or something,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because you got a lot of rules with that. But one of the questions was that I've had before, if you were playing, which quarterback would you want to play against, Brett or Aaron? I'm like, why y'all keep asking me that? Everybody's just laughing.
Oh, Lord.
Because once you ask the question, you mute your little box.
Right.
You mute it. And then when I talk, it goes out to everybody. And they it's so funny.
All right, joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, he is Eric Name, wrote an unbelievably great piece today detailing the meaning between Giannis and Bucks ownership.
Oh, wait a minute. We didn't get this from these other guys you were promoting yesterday. We got it from a local guy.
Wojnarowski did not have all the details that Eric Name has.
Okay. No. I done told y'all about Eric Name, but y'all don't want to believe me.
Okay. So
come on, Name. Bring
good.
It in.
All right. Cause. So, Eric, you had all the details. It was a great piece earlier today. I guess, just to summarize quickly here, of who was at the meeting. So, we had Mark Lazary. We had his son, Alex Lazary. We had Giannis. We had Giannis's agent all there. But I noticed that I didn't see John Horst's name listed anywhere on that list of people that were at the meeting. Weird to you or no?
So I think the when I first kind of like went through it, I did think it was a little bit strange.
Because I think, you know, it's a lot strange.
Of course you do, Steve.
Where I kind of come down on this is, you know, I think this was seen as, you know, an extraordinary circumstance, an unusual situation, an emergency meeting from the way that this was initially reported. That the Bucks have lost. Mark Lazary needs to talk to Giannis right now. And I think the one thing that, I mean, should hopefully come through in my story is that this was pretty much business as usual for the Bucks. And obviously, as I wrote, like, it would be naive to say that this is an offseason that is business as usual. But this was kind of what Mark Lazary does at the end of every season, that he's going to come into town, he's going to talk to Bud, he's going to talk to Horst, and then anytime he's in town, whether it's offseason, in-season, whatever, he's going to text Giannis and, you know, kind of see, hey, what are you doing? You want to hang out, grab lunch, talk, catch up, do any of that? And that's kind of what this situation was. And obviously, like, Monk had Alex Lazary along with him, and Thanasis was there, and Alex Tsiratsis, Giannis's agent, was there as well. So there were, like, some more people, but I don't think this was seen as you know, 24th hour, we got to make our pitch. This is how we're going to do it. It was more, hey, this is what we do at the end of the season. This is what we do when I'm in town. We're going to hang out and we're going to talk. And obviously the playoffs didn't go the way that we all wanted it to go, but we're still going to talk about kind of what went right, what went wrong, where we're feeling, what we're thinking, and just kind of go through all of that. So I would agree. I had that initial kind of response when I first kind of got the details talking to people. And I was in my head, you know, I was kind of thinking of, when the Warriors went to try to recruit Durant, like they had everybody there. Like there's players, there was the owners, there's GM, like everybody was there. But I think part of realizing and reporting the story was just that this wasn't that, right? Like this wasn't the pitch meeting. This wasn't, hey, we're going to make sure we get this guy. This was, you know, just talking to your guy and having a conversation with him like you would at the end of any season.
So when you look at this conversation, I think much is being made out of it because everybody, you know, the hype, Giannis signing, not signing, coming back, not coming back. You know, we talked a little bit about the other day because Adrian Wojnarowski had something, blah, blah, blah. And now this emergency meeting, so-called, made. Are we making too much of all this?
That's a tough one. I don't think you can make too much of the best player in the NBA, and people can argue, I don't really care, whatever. He's going to win back-to-back MVPs. Like, so I don't think you can make too much out of, you know, the best player in the NBA at 25 years old having the potential to sign on a Supermax extension that would keep him in that city for the next 6 years. Like, that, there's a reason why everybody talks about it. There's a reason why every fan base around the country is dreaming up scenarios in which they can somehow find a way to trade for this dude. Like, he's the most important, I shouldn't say the most important basketball player. Obviously, you can still see, like, LeBron playing and stuff like that. But, you know, as far as possible ways in which the power of the league shifts, there isn't anyone more central to that than Giannis Antetokounmpo. So I don't think that too much is being made of really anything that Giannis does, because I don't know that you can do that. But specifically in regards to this meeting, I think a little bit too much was made of this being, you know, a surprise, or we got to find a way to convince Giannis that this is the way to go. Like, this was not housekeeping. It's more important than that. But this was just kind of what they do and how they go about their business when anything's going on, whether this is the season or after the season or whatever it may be.
Eric, does the Clippers losing? I really just listen to Steve and the fan. We should, next time we get you on, we should have people call in and ask you questions, because they're the one that's freaking out. I'm not. I'm a cool character. But does the Clippers losing, does that take any smoke off of the whole Giannis leaving, staying thing? Does it put it on the back burner? Does it get it off of page one and they can concentrate on that? Or every time Giannis thanks the fans, I guess he's not supposed to thank the fans. See, he's leaving. He just thanked the fans. Man, hey, man, I had to take my Metamucil plus the prune juice.
Well, what about the other ones? What about the other
one? What the other one, Garrett? What the other one?
He deleted. Do that one.
Oh, yeah, he deleted all his players and all the Bucks people, only following 9 guys. Plucker wrote all that. I'm just full disclosure. Does this put this to the back burner and we can concentrate on maybe the Clippers opting out in a year or so? Or do people still want to talk about this?
I mean, I think people still want to talk about Giannis because, you know, he's at a little bit higher level. He's younger than those guys. He's kind of like the next big idea of, you know, is the NBA changing, not changing? Can guys be loyal, or is this, a league where guys are going to change teams every 4 years and, you know, people are going to be turned off by that or whatever it may be? Like, he's more central to that idea than a guy like Kawhi, who's already changed teams. a guy like Paul George, who's already changed teams. This idea that, you know, if Giannis stays, then that means players can be loyal, or if he goes, that means no one can be loyal. Like, it just, in like the general sense, that is always going to be a bigger deal to people than whatever else. But I do think the Clippers losing kind of shows that, you know, this isn't, I'm not here to make excuses for the Clippers. I don't really care about the Clippers. But like, this isn't a normal postseason. If you go through the picks that, you know, our guys at the Athletic made, that I made at the Athletic, my finals was Bucks Clippers, Bucks and six. If you look at just about everybody else at the Athletic, it was the Bucks representing the Eastern Conference, and in the West it was either the Lakers or the Clippers. So the Lakers part could still happen, but the Clippers part ain't happening. So I think them losing in such an unusual way, I think helps give some, you know, kind of validity to this is just going to end up being like a really weird postseason. And that doesn't mean whoever wins at the end, it means any less. Like, you ain't taking that ring away from them. You ain't taking away the Larry O'Brien trophy. Like, they still got it. So that mm-hmm. championship is still going to count. But I do think we are seeing that this is really kind of a very different version of basketball than the one that you see in a normal 82-game schedule with a normal playoffs with normal travel.
Talking with Eric.
Real quick, Steve, I don't mind talking about it because they got to play in a couple months. So I don't mind talking about it. But I think in some way, I think Giannis sits back and laughs at us for reacting to everything he does. I really think he enjoys this.
Yeah, I mean, I think any player that has a huge platform can, I would guess, again, I'm not any sort of celebrity or anything. Like, I would guess they probably do it.
You are a celebrity now. Come on now. You're a celebrity.
Like, hey, like, you know, if I do this thing, like, everyone's going to freak out. Like, if I delete my Instagram, which I've done a bunch of times, like, people will be like, oh, what's going on? If I unfollow some people, they'll be like, oh, my God, yes. What is happening? When you could just literally be doing whatever else is doing, sitting home on the couch. Like, all right, let's click this button and see what the world does. And
yes.
And you're like, yeah. Oh. Okay, I guess I have that type of power.
Yeah.
Talking with Eric Name here on the Wendy's Big Name. Show on The Fan. So reading your piece, you get into talking about Budenholzer in that piece as well. Obviously, if it's up to Giannis, he's going to be loyal to Budenholzer, probably similarly like he was to Jason Kidd, as people talked about. I would assume he'll be loyal to Budenholzer. You've talked about their relationship. But does it feel to you like he might be on kind of a hot seat coming into this season with the ownership group?
I think there's going to be a lot of pressure put on Bud. And, I tried to kind of articulate this in the article we wrote today, me and Sam Amick. But, you know, I think what is really difficult here is that it's kind of impossible to separate the great success that Bud and Giannis have had together from the great failures that they've had together. Because, you know, Giannis wasn't winning MVPs before Bud got here. And sure, exactly. I'm sure there's plenty of people that will argue he was going to win an MVP no matter who his next coach was. Maybe that's true, maybe it wasn't. But there's only one coach that he won an MVP with, and that's Mike Budenholzer. And there's only one coach that he won two MVPs with, and that's Mike Budenholzer. And there's only one guy that he's won 60 games one year and was on pace to win another 60 games this year with, and that's Mike Budenholzer. So, on the one hand, you have all this success. And if you're the Bucks as an organization, you have success that you haven't seen since the 80s.
A long time.
I'm trying to think with the last time they won 60 games. You haven't seen that in a long, long time. So you have all this success, but then you have the undeniable failures in the postseason. And I think that's where this gets tough, is that, you know, you're not just going to rip the Band-Aid and say, need a new coach, got to have a new one because you can't get done in the postseason. Because, I mean, your MVP is going to be saying, that MVP trophy, you saw the picture that I took, right? It was me and that guy holding it, right? It was me and Bud holding that together. So I think it's tougher than some people kind of want to acknowledge, that it's not just going to be a situation where rip the Band-Aid, he's gone, bring somebody new in. It's going to be a situation where some pressure is going to have to be applied. Right? Ownership is going to have to let him know, hey, man, that's not acceptable. We're not getting rid of you, but you have to adapt. We saw you after year one. You know, you had your success in the regular season, flamed out in the postseason, and everyone said, Bud can't adjust. Bud can't find a way to adapt. Bud can't find a way to find postseason success, something that has been with him his entire career. And then this whole season, I mean, I ask that question every pregame, every postgame. If they did something slightly different, I would ask, oh, is that something you want to do in the playoffs? Is that the way that you want to try to approach this going forward? Is this something different that you can do when you need it in the playoffs? Like, those were the questions that he was going to ask. So Mike Boonholzer is very aware of what people think of him and his shortcomings. And for a second straight season, it happens. So, all right, bud, you know what everybody thinks. You know what everybody's saying. What are you going to do to actually change it? And I think that's kind of the pressure that ownership applies, that, all right, you're fine. You're gonna get to keep your job for a third season here, but you got to find a way out of this, man. Like, we know what your shortcomings are. You know what your shortcomings are. How are you going to fix it, and how are you going to prove to us that you're going to fix it and deserve to keep your job?
Well, what about this name? The players, and not necessarily the players, more certainly the owners fixing it, spending more money, going in luxury tax. It clearly feels like to me that they don't have, because if you look at the East next year, you got Durant, you got Kyrie coming back. The East is not going to be any easier. I would say the makeup of the team may not be good enough to get you to the finals. I think it's better enough to get you further than what they got this time, but it may not be good enough to get you to the finals just based on talent.
Yeah, I think the East is getting a lot better, and we've kind of seen a number of those teams kind of start to grow here in the last couple of years. And obviously, you know, I was, you know, if you find any of the quotes about the luxury tax, you know who asked it. Like, whether it's the owners or the coach or the players, like, I was the one that asked about it. I've been hammering the idea of going into the luxury tax and, you know, then finding your way back out of it, which is what a lot of teams do to try to avoid the repeater tax that the owners talked about in October of last year. Like, that, I think, you know, was a huge mistake. And it was something that I hammered them on publicly when it happened in July. I asked John Horst to his face at Summer League, hey, I think your team is worse. What do you think? And, like, I think you could see that starting from the beginning of the season. And, you know, whether or not Malcolm Brogdon wanted to be here in Milwaukee, wanted to sign whatever number they had him down for, you know, was happy in his role, they decided to, you know, help out that situation and get themselves an asset. And that was how they kind of spun it forward, that, hey, you know, we didn't give him away for nothing. We got an asset. Well, I don't know if you guys saw the 2020 Indiana Pacers pick play at all this year, but I didn't see him on the floor. So I don't know how that asset helped this year. Maybe it will help going forward. And, you know, that's going to be something that the Bucks, like any front office, are going to spin forward and say, hey, you know, that asset isn't all the way done yet. That asset could still be something, but it didn't help this year. And, you know, I think that is at least part of the answer to why this Bucks team struggled in the postseason for a second consecutive season.
Yeah, I want to go back to Boone for a minute, because when it was, and I know people get reaction at a tough loss, when it was reported that they were going to keep him, I'm fine with that. I think, but I give people some space to want difference, because you look at, you know, Matt LaFleur, he's a coach that wants to run the ball. He let Aaron throw the ball 44 times because he recognized he saw weaknesses at cornerback. Same thing this week. He may let him throw it again, but that's not what he wants to do. Andy Reid, a West Coast guy, loves to be under the center, you know, run the ball, but he lets Mahomes throw it all over the place. So coaches evolve. So my thing is, though, Eric, this is Bud's third year. So I'm going to give him some space to grow and evolve a little bit. People who wanted him fired was a head scratcher to me. Like, they were so spoiled. Like, we just had a bunch of coaches that won a bunch of games, and now we could just keep finding guys. I mean, so I was glad to hear that he was going to stay, because if he stays, to me, this is just to me, if he stays, I think not only do you have a better chance at keeping Giannis, I think you have a better chance at winning a lot more games, because all these are regular season awards and all this. I get that. But you got to keep the team together as much as possible that winning these games to the next level. So I was very excited when they said they was going to keep Booten.
Yeah, there was actually – I had an interesting interaction with Scott Brooks, who coaches the Washington Wizards now. I'm trying to think what month it was, January. They all kind of run together, something like that. And, you know, he was the guy that coached the Westbrook and Durant Thunder. And
Durant
last year, they fired him before it. They brought in Billy Donovan, and then obviously they didn't win that year. They, you know, I mean, you could argue they should have beat the Warriors, but they didn't. Durant ends up going to the Warriors. And, you know, one thing we were talking about was the journey of, like, a truly great team. And how back in the day, you look at those Bucks teams with Don Nelson, like, he was there forever. Mm-hmm. He had a long time to build his program and put in the things that he wants to do. And, you know, I asked Scott Brooks, I was like, hey, you know, in year one when you're really good but you don't end up winning, do you start to feel that pressure of, we got to get it done this year or this whole thing's going to get blown up? And he was like, are you serious? He's like, that's way too fast. That's way too quick. Like, how are you going to feel pressure after just 1 year? And, I mean, I agree with him. I do think coaches deserve that time to kind of build something. But at the same time, the modern NBA moves really fast. Like, that's why
true.
There are
that's
no
true.
10 – there's true. No more 10-year contracts. There's no more 8-year contracts, 6-year contracts. Like, 5's the longest you can get, and most of the time it's going to be 4. Like, the league moved really quickly. So I do think, you know, if Mike Budenholzer came into this season and thought, hey, we can run many of the same things, we just need to improve them, tweak them slightly, I think it's a defensible strategy. Like, I think you could have thought that going into the season, and that's what you worked on. Mm-hmm. But now that it didn't work for a second time, you have to be more drastic. You have to be able to make, more meaningful change rather than just slight tweaks around the edges.
Eric, I'm talking with Eric Name here on the Wendy's Big Show. Great piece that he wrote earlier today. I want to get into something else because this is going to possibly happen. We don't know if it will, but it's possible.
Here it comes.
No, it's a possibility. It's a financial deal. So there is a possibility Giannis doesn't sign that Supermax because of a potential salary cap decrease or whatever the case may be here in the next year or two. And maybe he decides he wants to wait till next offseason to sign it. That really is going to put probably additional pressure, I would think, on the whole situation, because then the media is really going to fan the flames for the entire season. And you're going to have everybody looking at the Bucks pretty much saying, well, you better win it. Otherwise, you don't know if you'll be able to keep him, even though he says he's staying regardless of what happens, I guess. How would you view that situation if he decides not to sign the Supermax?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of tried to lay that out in the story today
yep.
that we wrote at The Athletic. And, I mean, like, I think it's – I don't want to say simple because none of this is simple. It's incredibly complicated. But, I think you start with, hey, do you want to sign it? Yep, I do. Great. Let's celebrate. Then you go to the next level, which is, hey, do you want to sign it? No, not quite yet. But I still really like you guys, and I think I want to be here long term. I just want to make sure that you guys do the things that you need to do. And, you know, I think in that situation, the Bucks are like, all right, cool. Like, we're going to do what we need to do here. Like, let's figure out what we think the path forward is together, and let's get it done, and let's go win a championship, and let's keep you here for 5 or 6 more years. And then, you know, there is kind of that third path where it's like, I'm not signing it. I don't want to sign it. I want out. And that's, I think, kind of the spot where all of a sudden you could see the Bucks start to ponder the idea of trading them. And I don't even think in that situation they would. I still think they're going to power through and say, you know what, you don't want to be here. We're going to convince you you want to be here by winning a championship this year. But the pressure that you're talking about is very real, and that pressure is something that few players in the league ever hold in their hands. That is something that it's a real pressure that you can hold as a player, and you very rarely have it. And we've seen LeBron James flex that power for a long time, where, you know, he's signing 2+1s, he's signing 1-year deals. Like, he's doing all of those things to put as much pressure on the organization as possible. And it's worked at times. It's also led to some really bad basketball teams. that could only possibly be saved by LeBron James. So it's honestly a really treacherous path. But yeah, I mean, if that is the situation where he says, I still want to be here, but I'm not signing it this summer because I want you guys to be better, then everyone really has to turn it into overdrive. And that means you got to start being perfect around the periphery. That means
okay.
draft pick periphery. Or the pick that you trade or whatever it may be. Like, all of that stuff has to be perfect.
I've got one more here because we've talked to Eric for quite a while.
Steve.
I got another one here. Because of what happened with the Clippers last night and the undue pressure that now will be on that franchise to figure it out, knowing that Paul George and Kawhi Leonard have 1 year left on their deal this summer, and then they can opt out to become free agents, which means you could have a situation where Giannis, Paul George, and Kawhi could all be free agents in the same summer. Knowing they don't have a first-round draft pick, I don't believe, until 2027 in L.A. for the Clippers. Knowing all of that, to me, it would make sense for the Clippers to maybe explore making a move of a Paul George for somebody that's maybe comparable but has a longer-term deal and is set versus having the possibility of losing them both after next season and getting nothing in return for either one of them. Do you think that might be something that may appeal to the Bucks as well, involving maybe a Chris Middleton, knowing that, okay, if we are going to lose Giannis and then Paul George opts out, we are free and clear, essentially, and not still tied up to a long-term deal, but really don't lose that much, if anything, by swapping out Middleton for Paul George?
So I think it could be interesting possibly for the Clippers, but I would say I probably struggle to understand why it might be.
We know you don't like Paul George. Just hold on. Go ahead, Eric.
Well, look at the facts. Go ahead, Eric.
I was going to say, it might be difficult for me to see it from the Bucks' perspective. Because if all of a sudden, you know, you're trying to impress Giannis and you're trying to do that, well, so if you sign on Giannis next year, we might not have this guy anymore.
Sure.
You've already locked in Middleton. So, like, the positive that you're spinning forward to the Clippers could be a negative in the opposite direction for the Bucks. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, absolutely. 100%.
So I think that would be kind of where it would get difficult. And then I do think, like, the one thing that all of us have learned and know about Giannis over the years is that this dude's incredibly loyal. And, you know, I think it from his perspective, mean a ton to him if he gets to win with one of his day one guys. Like, if he gets to win with Chris, who's been here for all of it. And I mean, if you've subscribed to The Athletic over the 2 years that I've been there, you've read a bunch of stories about how much those two mean to each other and then how much their relationship means to each other. So I think ultimately you put kind of all that together and maybe it's not the most attractive thing for the Bucks.
It's a beautiful thing having Eric name on this show.
I'm so glad you came on. Can you come on every day?
We're always glad to have Eric on. I love talking to Eric.
He's the only guy that can put these conspiracy theories out with you and Trail and all y'all. Man, y'all get on my nerves, man. Thank you, Eric name.
But see, this is the thing. But see, this is the thing, Leroy.
Thank you, Eric name.
But see, this is the thing, Leroy. Eric's last paragraph in his article, which I will read, doesn't leave everybody feeling all that cozy and warm and fuzzy inside.
Well, he liked to look at it both sides.
He says,
chew on.
He says, from Lazary to Horst to Budenholzer to Giannis to the rest of the roster, the Bucks need to execute well on every level this offseason if they're going to convince Giannis to keep believing in the Bucks. Their championship hopes and a special era that remains unfulfilled are at stake.
Facts. He's right about that.
A lot of pressure.
I'm
going to make a statement. I'm going to let you go. 3 seconds. If Giannis leave and the Bucks can pay him $80 million more than anybody, okay, and he leaves, he never liked Milwaukee. Never liked them. If he leaves knowing they can pay him $80 million more than anybody, what I said?
$80.
We know
that too, Steve. $80 million. Steve, $80 million more than anybody. Right. He never liked Milwaukee, but the man love it here. He loved it, man. Just get used to it. Thank you, Eric Name. We'll see you next time, my
brother. Thank you, Name.
I appreciate y'all. I'll see you later. Yeah.
Thanks, take care.
And you way, Ben Wojo and all the motherboard to Stevie hollering out.
He just needs to get paid like those guys now.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Eric, he might do, Steven. We just don't know.
No, he definitely doesn't. Eric, thanks so much. There he is. Eric Name on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Get one of them little checks. You never know.
As your passion outgrows your home, a Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit GreatMidwestBank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. That was officially the longest interview we've had with Eric Name since he's been on the show. Being interviewed by far. That was a half hour.
It was worth it, though. It was worth it.
It was well worth it. Great stuff there.
I'm glad I got him on.
We'll come back. We'll react to what he just said and see what Gary and Leroy have to think about Eric Name's comments next on the Wendy's Big Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.